This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Welcome back. 7 after 1. Power Zone it is until the hour 3 o'clock. We're going to now focus on a very interesting topic about the indigenous languages, African languages, and obviously focusing particularly on South Africa. We know that we do have 11 official languages, but are we doing justice to our languages, particularly African languages? So to explore this topic, let's touch base with Professor Vuyisile Msila from the University of South Africa. Prof, good morning to you. Welcome to Power Zone.
Good morning, Mario. Thank you so much for inviting me.
It's a pleasure, sir, to have you, and we appreciate the fact that you're part of the 24-hour economy team. We are supporting President Cyril Ramaphosa because he pronounced at the job summit that we need to drive a 24-hour economy.
So, yes.
It's good to see South Africans doing that. Okay. Let's welcome also Sindiswa Siakua. Sindiswa, good morning to you. Welcome to Power.
Good morning, Buti. Good morning. Thank you so much for the invitation as well.
It's a pleasure to have you, ma'am. And we also have Zanele Ndlovu. Zanele, good morning to you.
Sawubona, Mario.
Sawubona. Yeah, I could see you're pushing back already.
I'm happy to be here, yeah.
I could see you're pushing back already.
Already.
But yeah, I get a little bit of Saka English because we're talking African languages.
And I feel like I think advantage because UNESCO has declared 2019 as the year of the mother language. So why not? Sawubona.
Why not? Sawubona now. Prof, let's just start with you. You know, South Africa, we took a decision during the multi-party talks that we are going to give official languages the same status. We're not going to undermine any language. But here is a thing that I want us to kick off the discussion with. Government communication. We know the majority of South Africans are Africans, okay? Yes. Well, to use government language, black, or black African. But the communication that comes from government, just about 2 months ago, no, 3 months ago, I was reading the terms of reference for the State Capture Commission headed by Deputy Chief Justice, Deputy Chief Justice Raymond Zondo, and I was just curious to see whether I'm going to see the terms of reference in 11 official languages or not. And it was only in Afrikaans and English. As government, is there a political will to give African languages the prominence that they deserve, or there isn't that political will? Can we start there first?
Well, Maria, thank you so much again. It's very difficult to believe that there is that will, although one has to say that we have to commend people for discussing these issues of the importance of indigenous languages. But the problem is that is implementation. We don't see this implemented, as you have just rightly said, that we are still using a lot of English and some Afrikaans, but you won't find your Tshivenda, your isiXhosa, or isiZulu, and so on. So it is still very much of a social injustice for people who are using these African indigenous languages.
Okay, I send this one. You are involved in a, you know, Miriam Tladi reading and book club, and we know the passion of Miriam. She left an incredible legacy, and we are glad that you are carrying that legacy forward. But in terms of your reading club, is it only English, or are you tapping into the African languages?
We do tap into African languages.
Puti. But obviously, English here dominator.
Yes.
Because most of writers in our country write in English, even our black writers. So in many cases, whether we are discussing an issue or we are reading a book, you'd find that I would say 80% of the work of the Miriam Gladys Reading and Book Club comes out in English. That is why we continue to work towards encouraging people to produce work in our languages through other platforms like the South African Literary Award. Let me just give you background here, which we now, you're talking to me now as a convener of the Miriam Gladys Reading and Book Club. However, as our organization, the Writer Associate, we also have other programs. One of those is the South African Literary Awards, which encourages people to write in our languages, and we honor that work. Of course, we do include English and Afrikaans, but we also have another platform, which is the Africa Sanctuary International African Writers Conference. The main focus is on our indigenous languages. So yes, it is a problem. We would want so much to have these languages been given prominence, but we don't have much work in these languages.
Mm-hmm. Zanele Ndlovu, are we just being sentimental? I mean, we are living in an economy that is dominated by English. And in this country, they've declared English as a business language. So are we just being sentimental to say African languages, but we know at the end of the day that, something that generates, especially in the literary work, something that, that generates revenue, it works out better if it's written in English because it gets a broader readership or a broader audience. So are we just being sentimental by trying to say, let's work on these African indigenous languages?
I saw Uguti, especially actually English, it's the business language. Abantu, they are able to express themselves clearly in their mother tongue.
Mm.
So if untate ubab kumalo, utaisin kukune, and when the business, I saw Uguti, if I express a ngesiZulu sakhe or ngesiXhosa sakhe, ibusiness lakhe lingandondlobala kakhulu ukwabana more than makazofuna ukukhuluma in English ukwabana because i-English iyasilimitha ukwabana as Africans.
Yeah.
So I think it's best yabona njengoba for instance i-sign language sekunama-standard interpreter manje for sign languages. So kumele ukuthi kwenzakale kanjalo even in African languages, yabo. Kube nama-interpreter. Umuntu uma kakhuluma akwazi ukuthi express. For instance, ngizoyenza umzekelo example. Uma uya eBrazil, even from i-president to i-coach yebhola to umntana wesikolo, bakhuluma nge-mother tongue yabo and bayazi-expressa. And siyababukela ku-SABC News ukubona bese kuba nama-subtitles lapha sifunda ukuthi basho ukuthini yabo. So yeah, ngifila ukuthi especially South Africa bakwethu, South Africa yithi kakhulu esikoloniziwe. Uma uya eTanzania, for instance, ngiyakhumbula ngiseZanzibar, uma ngifika, wow, ama-billboard awo, abo bawabhale in Kiswahili, uke wabona.
Yeah.
And uthola those books e-airport whereby kubhalwe Kiswahili, kubhalwe English.
Yes.
And u-first ukuthi uyithenge leyo ncwadi ngoba uma ufuna amanzi or ufuna i-taxi, yabo, leyo ncwadi iyekuncedayo, i-translatile from i-English. To Kiswahili, yabo.
Yeah.
So I feel nje ukuthi South Africa, ama billboards ma wathola la South Africa, the only billboard engayibona ngesiZulu beyibhalwe ukuthi ngingumakhwapheni ozithandayo, ngiyakhondomiza, yabo, awutholi izinto ezi-constructive ezikwazi ukuthi zakhe abantwana.
Exactly.
Nesizwe.
Yeah. It's a very interesting and dynamic topic that we are having here on Power 98.7. Let me go back to Professor Msila and say, Prof, you see, the issue of language, it also deals with the person's self-esteem in a way, you know? And I've always said to people in the, whether be in the creative arts or the sports and recreation, to say, when you conduct interviews, be it on television or radio, you know, why don't be shy to speak in your mother tongue? Because at least you understand the question and you are not obliged to respond in English.
Yes.
Because it becomes a problem. That is why we find a lot of embarrassing situation, because people are not, you know, they are not English first speakers. And at times they want to translate. That is why you find some people on national television saying, you know, a player who has just been given a man of the match award. And he says, I want to thank my wife, I want to thank my girlfriend, you know, because he's thinking in English and, you know, he's making those fundamental mistakes. I thank my wife, my girlfriend. But here is an issue. I was misinterpreted by some people about a week ago with this controversy between Mampinja, the artist, and his partner Bibs. Okay, that particular confrontation. And I came on radio and say, I applauded Mampinja for conducting that doorstep interview in isiZulu. And you could tell he was speaking fluently. He was addressing issues the best way he could. My issue, it had nothing to do with the merits of the case.
Yes.
It was about an expression, because it's a sensitive issue. But I said, even when they were asking him in English, because there were also white journalists who were asking, he could understand the question, but he responded in isiZulu. And he expressed himself the best way he could in his mother tongue. So how do we change, Prof? How do we change this mindset where people feels that when we speak in English, we sound intelligent? When we speak in English, we sound smart, even though we might even be making fundamental mistakes instead of So how do we deal with that mindset?
It's very important to deal with those perceptions. As you rightly say, that we normally, every day, we think that a person who expresses himself or herself in English, they are better, they are clever, and so on. Although it's not the case, but to many people in the society, that is their reality. That is why today you'll find most of research that is being done, parents are always emphasizing in the schools where their children attend that I've brought my child here to this school to learn English. So please, I'm not interested in your teaching him or her Sisutu or isiZulu and so on. So it's perceptions that need to be changed. And earlier you mentioned a very important term in this debate, self-esteem and language. This is something that even Bantu Biko mentioned years ago when he said that when you go to university, you find black students in lecture halls keeping quiet. They are more inward looking, because when they hear others speaking, they feel that they do not have the tools to engage in the debate that others are engaged in, meaning using English. So they tend to lose confidence. You know, when they hear others expressing their answer, they say, my goodness, that is what I wanted to say. But they don't have the confidence to stand up and say it. So we need to change those perceptions. As I've said again earlier, that this is also about social justice. It's part of the project of ensuring that everybody is included, social inclusion within institutions. Sometimes, in fact, not sometimes, all the time, people who speak African indigenous languages do not feel, do not really experience this particular aspect, where they find themselves that they are part of what should be happening within institutions, because they cannot hear their own languages. they have to express themselves in another language that they might not even be 100% confident in expressing themselves in.
Cindy, so you know the role of public broadcaster in terms of advancing our languages, it's key. And I think sometimes, you know, from time to time, I'm trying to speak, but you know, I enjoy listening to Umhlobo Wenene. It just fascinating. It just fascinates me. And here is an issue. At Motsweding FM, for instance, there was some kind of an uproar because some presenters were concerned that the management of Motsweding FM is beginning to hire what we can call celebrities, especially from the film. And they were saying their Setswana is not pure and proper. So they are just hiring them because of the name, the big name attitude, you know? But their Setswana, it's not in sync. It's diluting the authenticity of Setswana coming out in terms of broadcast. So it was a very interesting thing to me because I thought in this modern age, people, they don't care much about how we express our languages, be it in isiZulu, Xhosa, and so on. But it was an interesting thing for me to hear that there are people, including listeners, who raise concerns that the Setswana that is spoken by some of these actors who are being hired as presenters is not pure. Were they justified in that or were they just being too hard?
Yo, Buti, you see, kind of bansy, Magangani, because when we look, we want to preserve, promote these languages, and we want those who do not understand the languages to know them, and Kasen Sanjalo, we want them to know the correct way. So, I'm kind of sympathetic to both sides that yes, let the people who not necessarily those language, that language speaking, but a person who understands it, like when Yabomanji, you've just mentioned Ukuthi, you are a Motswana speaking and you've been conducting most of this interview in Xhosa. I had not even picked up ba awungomXhosa wena ngokwakho, and it's quite interesting then to hear Ukuthi nanga umuntu ongumTswana but is now speaking Xhosa. Now, if we were to say don't because awusimXhosa or because you are not, because you are a celebrity, we would be denying you an opportunity to empower yourself, to know the language. But also for a person like me who's sitting this side, it's very inspiring now to hear, he is trying. So I think while we are being very strict, we should also allow a platform yoba masikhule kulama language. Let us learn them. You know what kills us as well is that we tend to want to hold a language with the language speaker. It's like because in the room class, I can speak isiXhosa well, then that's fine. And I don't expect Ukuthi umTswana could actually do the same. And if we could look at indigenous languages, well, if we are to talk about home only, to say all the 9 indigenous languages, masis teteni sonke, noma bendiyabheda, but the speaker must understand ba andibhedi because I'm undermining her, I'm undermining the language yet. It's because I'm learning it. That's what will make us comfortable as a society. But let us tap into all these languages. Because I believe, Ukuthi, I do not have to speak my mother tongue and not know the others. Yeah, but so I think there people sometimes we become unreasonable. You know, now I would say let us promote the languages. Rather, instead of complaining or undermining the person, help the person, correct the person. But no, actually, it's not pronounced that way. it is, but while you appreciate the effort, that's what I think could be done, you know.
Okay. I'm in conversation, by the way, with Professor Vuyisile Msila from University of South Africa. I'm also have seen this. Is it Siakhoa, ma'am? Am I pronouncing it okay?
Siakhoa.
Oh, Siakhoa. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm Englishizing it. Siakhoa, got it right. And I also have Zanele Ndlovu. We'll be taking calls on 0861-987-000. Says Zanele, let's talk about the emerging trend, especially in the middle class area, African or Black African middle class people. The reality and the trend is that the majority of our kids, middle class people, they don't speak African languages. They only speak English. You go to the shops where they shop Woolies, Pick and Pay, whatever. The parent with the kids, they speak English all the way at home, in the playing fields, and so on. And it's becoming a new normal. Are we losing it, or is just the way things are? And by the way, even on Apelele's show, you know, here on Power, they did a topic about how they relate with their grandparents when they go, for instance, to Venda, to Polokwane, or to Epedi, Eastern Cape, or Mtubatuba, when they go back home, to say the kids, they can't relate to their parents, to their grandparents, because they can't speak isiZulu, they can't speak isiPedi, they can't speak Shangaan, and so on. This is like a new normal. Are we losing it there, Zanele?
Lahlekile. We are lost. Kakhulu. Mina, for instance, ngibhalela abantwana izincwadi and I write in my mother tongue isiZulu.
Yes.
The reason why ngabhala izincwadi ngesiZulu, it's because ngiyakhumbula bengiyi-tour guide bekune World Summit ngo-2002.
Mm-hmm.
So kufike ama-guests abuya e-Europe babuza umntwana esowethu. Hello, baby. How do you say hello in your own language? Mtani yaphendula. Hello. How do you say goodbye? Bye-bye. Yabo. Of which vele, sekunomal manje, noma umuntu anqonqoze eminyango, awuthi ngena. Come in. Yabo. So, silahlekile kakhulu because ulimi lwebele, like in mother tongue, it's our heritage, yabo. So if ever abantwana bazokhuluma isilungu kuphela, yazi mangibhala le ncwadi nengiyakhumbula ngibhala incwadi yami yokuqala umakhweyana ngiyisa kuma publishers abantu abamnyama mangiletha incwadi, you wrote it in Zulu. It's not gonna sell. Ugewabana. And the reason why I wrote it in isiZulu, it's because of liya mntana wasesowethu ongakwazi ukukhuluma isiZulu. And incwadi zami zoyi-choose ziza nama audiobook CDs. And the audiobook ikunceda ukuthi ulalele and ukwazi ukuthi amagama apronounswa kanjani. So mina angifuni ukuqamba amanga ngithi yinto enhle ukuthi abazali bakhulumise abantwana isilungu. Kahle lento mele iqale kwi-early childhood development ema-crèche, yabo. Abantwana bafundiswe nge-mother tongue, kumele ibe khona nje leyo subject e-mother tongue. Ngiyakhumbula mina ngisesesikoleni ma ufeyile mother tongue from young.
You don't pass to the you don't go to the next.
Noma i-math ungayithola 100% English, 100%. Awuzazi mos wena, awuzaza wazi awuphuma khona mos. So it was a fail vele, yabo. So mina ngifeel ukuthi kumele sibuyele lapho whereby.
And Zanele, it is quite ironic because that thing was happening under apartheid government. You know, it's like apartheid government were like saying to us, and you must know yourself. In a new dispensation, the tables have turned. A bit strange.
And as kwenzakalani njoba ngibhalekele incwadi umakhweyana ne, ngiyakhumbula ngifaka i-profile picture on Facebook. Nga approacha umlungu, ngiyamkhumbula Carol Blatch, he was still head of Inalibali. Angitshela ukuthi uzanele Inalibali, we translate incwadi. Incwadi yami has been translated to at least 4 South African languages. Sikhona ngesiXhosa, yabona kaSotho, Sepedi. So lento la yenzwa ubani umlungu thina abantu abamnyama siyacindezelana like
ukuthi
isibulele colonization.
Let's talk decolonization. Prof is going to kick off this subject. But before that, let's go to Fos Loras and welcome Mem Rongwa. She has a question for Prof. Mem Rongwa, let me see. Okay. You are live morning. Now, Mem Rongwa.
Yeah, morning and all your guests, morning. Hope they are fine. To Prof, I agree with her that we should learn all the languages. But I don't agree with her when it comes to guests, not the guest hosts of radio stations. I feel that we should have people who talk pure, clean African languages, so that us who are callers, who interact with the host, can be corrected. Because I believe that the host should be a teacher, should be an informer. He should be able to explain and give me the understanding of the language as a caller. So if we're going to take, and I remember even the Khosi of KwaZulu-Natal did raise a storm about the Zulu that was spoken then in radio.
Ukhozi, yeah.
Why are they not hiring people who know the language? I agree with him. I'm not saying at the end of the day we should not practice those languages, but I'm saying when I'm real, with this Tswana, so that you can go mponsa tsela, you can go ruta, you can go ntshupe. So it's what I wanted to say. But also, Mario, this thing of let's talk English. Yes, especially Cup 94, it was very rife. There is some small steps or movement from that idea that people should talk Tswanaka English. So I'm saying to the lady that they should keep on, you know, re-educating the miseducated of apartheid 300 years. If you can understand that re-education, then we'll follow Hantle. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mem Rongwa. Prof, I want to bring in the subject before we go to Jerry in Letlhabile. You know, our code of arms in South Africa, it says Ike e ikara ike, which is a Khoisan language.
Yes.
Unity in diversity. And the code of arms represents who we are as a country. But in the 11 official languages, we don't have Khoisan language. As scholars, how do you describe this? When we engage with Department of Arts and Culture under Nathi Mthethwa, when we engage with committees, Sabuntate Joni Mohlala, who are responsible for renaming the streets and the airports and all other things, why is Khoisan language not be part of the official languages? Have you managed to find out why, Prof?
Not really, Mario. But 2 weeks ago, interestingly enough, I read how the Khoisan people leaders are complaining that is where it ends for them. Whilst they are fighting for land, they are also saying even language rights, even their language is not even accommodated among the official languages, although they are first people in South Africa.
Yeah.
So it is very interesting what you're saying, that our mantra, it is there, that unity and diversity in Khoisan. But it's very strange that it's not part, that these Khoisan languages are not part, and none of them are part of our official languages. So it's really an ongoing debate, especially now that you find that the Khoisan leaders are standing up to fight for what they think is rightfully theirs, especially the aspect of land, where they are saying that, no, we need our own land. So they also are looking for their identity, their culture, which is all embraced by their languages.
Yeah, indeed. It's gone 23 minutes before the hour 2. Power Zone, it is with me, Murio Sanyani. Fascinating discussion we're having with my special guest, Professor Vuyisile Msila. I've got Cindy Swa there from Siakwa, from Rights Associates. Hey, I need to practice that, as well as Zanele Ndlovu. Yeah, these are my special guests. Let's go to Jerry in Letlhabile. What's happening with my line now? Jerry, good morning.
Hey, my brother, how are you?
Like, how's it, Jerry?
No one can tamper with me. They can tamper with other people's life, not me. My brother. I'm using a very heavy security. I don't play games.
Yeah.
And your guest as well, Dumelang, but I will tell
you.
It's unusual to speak your own language in this show, you know?
Actually, Jerry, it's for the first time. I've spoken to you a million times. It's the first time I hear you say Dumelang or speak Setswana. Yeah, viva. We are decolonizing the mind.
the spirit and the forces is actually compelling me to utilize my indigenous language. My brother, this issue of institutionalizing our languages is one of the pertinent issues that we should actually focus on, because in most cases, you see, like, we have universities like Bophuthatswana University before it was, when it was UNIBO, before it became the University of
Northwest. Yeah.
And we allowed the University of Northwest to be changed. And not knowing that, by allowing that to happen, we are actually doing away with our languages. After that, we happen to find the narrative of the yellow bones. And that has actually culminated to many of our South African, our African people to lose their identity. Hence, you go to Zimbabwe, you find that the main of chemicals that they use, lotions in their skins, white people have created lighter lotions to make their skins to look lighter. So that, my brother, the complexion of changing our own color, it means that even our language is in jeopardy. Because of, by the time when you have artists like Beyonce dancing as Setswana culture in America, it means that if ever we should have actually institutionalized our languages, our culture, in even our tradition, Beyonce would have actually recognized that style, that pattern that she's using as a Botswana or as a Muzulu, as a, the Basotho tradition of dance. Now, we have not done that. That is why we are having this issue of African people, the Botswana people, the Zulu people, not actually being proud of themselves. When you go to the cultures in the SABC, for example, you find white people, they are reading news, they cannot even pronounce our names, our surnames appropriately. As if we have to listen to them. I was flabbergasted when I was listening to Getimo Shatlana in news. She couldn't pronounce Matwedwe. She was saying Matwedwe. You know, I was so embarrassed. I wish I could switch off the television. But unfortunately,
that is... Jerry, I'm battling to pronounce Siakwa, man.
No. You can't do that. And in most cases, if ever we can actually institutionalize one of that, if ever you have a university like the Zululand University, the University of KwaZulu-Natal, you know that university specializes in isiZulu. So that if ever we've got white people who want to speak isiZulu, they should go to that university. We must have a university that actually specializes in Setswana, so that when we speak Setswana, we've got white people to go there to practice Setswana. But in South Africa, we've got languages like, for example, you talked about the choir and the fan. But what about the Solobedu? You've got Solobedu in this country, it is not recognized. Government has actually recognized the Solobedu under Spade, and Solobedu is not Spade. You go to Balobedu, they will tell you they don't speak Sepedi. It is Solobedu. But Jerry,
in terms of Solobedu, I was told it's one of the dialects under Northern Sesotho. Just like, for instance, they're saying Northern Sesotho has lots of dialects, you know, Solobedu, it's one of the dialects under that. But anyway, give me your final point so that I can go to Katlewe. Yeah?
My final point is that let us make sure that we register our languages, we institutionalize them, so that when Oprah Winfrey comes to South Africa, she knows that if ever you dance this particular dance, this is registered under what we call intellectual property of our languages, so that even in America, when Beyonce is dancing a Botswana cultural dance, we must be proud of that, saying that, no, this is our Botswana dance. But now, what is happening, we have seen many people coming to South Africa, take whatever we have and utilize them. For example, in the movies of American people, I've seen them actually portraying the Shaka Zulu, portraying our culture. What is happening exactly in South Africa? But because of we did not institutionalize our languages, our traditions, our cultures, they are taking everything off us and they are actually educating it in a wrong way. They are distorting our culture, our traditions. That is why you are watching movies. They are portraying what we are doing as Botswana people. And they, we are losing even appetite because of they are not actually acting like, for example, let me give you an example about the movie of Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom. They've taken American guy who came here to portray Mandela and gave us nonsense. Instead of us, we should have taken one of our guys who understand the struggle, who understand the culture, the language and everything, so that when he acts as Mandela, we understand what is he going, what is he coming from. But now, yeah. American people coming here to advocate and to champion our languages, they practice, speak our Setswana, they come here, they talk nonsense. At the end of the day, our languages become a joke. So we must make sure that we institutionalize and we respect our languages. That way we'll be able to groom kids that will be proud of their languages.
Okay. Thanks, Jerry from Letlhabile. I think we will explore the issue of commercial imperatives because part of the reason why they're bringing in this internationally renowned actors, the justification, it's the commercial imperative because the movie industry is quite expensive and it's quite a challenging business. Sindiswa,
you are
in the Write Associate and also convener of Miriam Tladi Reading and Book Club. And, you know, I just want us to work on the issue of a mindset shift or a paradigm shift, because we are still somehow in bondages of considering our languages as lesser than English.
Mm.
And I will give you a typical case.
Mm.
In a political circle, when Dr. Blade Nzimande, for instance, is being criticized because of the factional battles within the political landscape, some of the most cheapest criticism they level against Dr. Blade Nzimande is that, don't tell us about Blade. His doctorate is in isiZulu.
Yeah.
So, which means that tell us about a doctorate in something, in physics or in English or in what, but Blade, don't tell us about this doctorate. It's in isiZulu. Can we see the mindset? How do we change that, Sindiso?
Isn't that a pity, Buti? But you see, Upujeri or Mamumrung, I don't remember, but one of them just mentioned Witi, you know, Sinhlophe. You know, in Zimbeni attitude, we smell white, everything. Now that makes us as black people, we see it as inferior. You see?
Mm.
And if you look at how generally life is structured from the apartheid time and now we haven't even corrected things. Ukuthi black people, everything about them was inferior. The place they live in, the kind of jobs they occupy, our language as well. So yonke into. So we now think, if I am, you know, during the day I had another interview and I was saying exactly what you are saying, Ukuthi. You have two professors standing there, all fundem, all specializer. English is the best. That's the professor. And the other one is, you don't even think they qualify to be named a professor. But it's because as it's Tandigwatina, you know, because you see, when you don't have a language, you are actually nobody.
Mm.
You know, because a language gives us a character, gives us an identity. Mm. It's a piece of me, Lonan. But now, if you don't embrace your language, forget about even your skin color, forget about your culture, because how are you going to even conduct your culture ungayazi language? We were at a book fair in Nelson Mandela Bay last weekend. Uprof Msila were with, we were together there.
And so bebabonisa ke laphayana ukuthi the way enye into ebulala ama language wethu ukuthi we don't teach them from primary level. We don't encourage kids at primary level. They are just taught, but with no meaning. Yeah. And then when we get to university level, that's when we want students to specialize in these languages. Then they are struggling because they didn't really take them seriously. You said, Nosihle Zanele, ekuqaleni, you would not go to the next level ungaphasanga your mother tongue.
Yes.
No, this is HNX. But now here's another problem, Yoguti. We don't speak these languages even at our homes.
Mm.
Yeah, but so umntana uyedibana nale language for the first time at classini. Believe me, makabuyele ekhaya and then it's English, everywhere it's English. It's going to be difficult. So you are right. Through all different efforts that are done, these discussions, the conferences, you'd be surprised with there are so many conferences on languages. Too many. There are annual conferences on languages in South Africa and the continent and worldwide. But it is the implementation. They end up in those conference settings.
Yeah, they become just talk shops.
We are not implementing what we've agreed on or the guests we serve.
Exactly. Okay, let's go to Soshanguve. Welcome, Buitsepo.
I'm Rio.
Hi, Buitsepo, welcome.
Yeah, I am okay. And hope your guests are okay.
Yes,
I'm Rio. My issue is, you know, you go to school and then they teach you Tswana ka Sekgowa, and it then becomes a problem.
They teach you Tswana in English.
That's cool. Because Kirile say Tswana and Spedi in primary and in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So all the languages got easy, but then I cannot actually speak them perfectly or in a way hearing someone did this language for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it then becomes a problem as much as but then I guess easy to that level I can articulate myself SM, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So it then becomes a problem where, okay, we want to learn these languages. And for a fact, right, in our homes, we do not speak those languages. So where I'm able to learn, they do not actually give me that language or leveling a long or I need. So that becomes then the problem in some ways. And also, to agree with my Mamoro, I listened to Zedding FM and those presenters you're talking about, Mr. Mri, because for me, you cannot give someone a spot because of the ratings they are going to bring, whereas Rena, as the listeners, you are not actually getting anything from them. Because it's like, that's the reason why I listen to Mzuding FM, because I want to learn something. And then I find someone who has fun learn. So what am I learning, HD, Mr.
Bridge? Yeah, okay.
Morning to you.
Morning to you, Buitsepo there. Professor Msile, you have published in the area of decolonization and then Africanization of the curriculum. Here's a concern from Buitsepo, saying that I know he's a young man from Soshanguve. He's currently studying in UNISA now. He just passed his grade 12. He's our regular contributor here. He says he has studied these African languages, Setswana and Sepedi, but, you know, even today, because they were taught in English, they taught indigenous languages in English. How do we correct that? Because it is quite abnormal, isn't it?
It is. But maybe let me start a bit from Memorongwa earlier.
Yeah, okay.
Who asked a question about the purity of African languages in some of these radio stations. We need to be very careful here because as years go by, languages also develop. So the language we speak now, the isiXhosa spoken now, might not be exactly the same as that which was spoken in the 17th century, for example. If you look at a language like English, which we have developed, I mean, as Africans, we have injected so many new words in the language that it has developed so much. You know, there was never a word like toy toy in a dictionary 50 years ago, or necklace with its abhorrent meaning, as we know it in our past. But just that we need to be careful there. Do we want to develop our languages, or do we want them to be stagnant? Coming back to the idea of decolonization, you know, what decolonization wants to do is to ensure that we bring all these languages, our own languages, to the center, you know, to share the table with English and Afrikaans. Because up to now, colonization has made sure that they are marginalized, they are on the margins. If you look at the first time when the colonizer came, we had African universities. You know, for instance, in Morocco, there was Al-Karayin. In Egypt, there was the University of Al-Azhar. Mm. In Mali, there was the University of Timbuktu. All these used African languages. But because of colonization, they changed. They just became lost in terms of languages because they followed the Western hegemonies of taking up the colonial languages. And hence, we ended up not having the African university now, but just universities in Africa. So that is exactly what we need to address. How do we bring back the African languages and make sure that they are spoken as they should be? Sometimes in the debate, people think that it's about revenge, you know, make sure that you marginalize English, marginalize Africans. Decolonization is not about that, but it's about bringing all of them on the table, ensuring that by speaking English, by using Afrikaans, you do not marginalize my Chivenda, my English, and so on. They need to be equal. And hence, we speak of a planetary system.
Well, indeed. And talking of the languages evolving, in particular the English language, Nigerians have taken it to another level. They even created Pidgin English. Okay, let's go to the violin. Welcome, Katleho. Sorry about that. Katleho, welcome.
Dumelantad,
eh?
Yeah, Dumel. I have two quick points. The first one is, generally, I think in terms of how our languages have been clustered, whether you talk about Northern Sotho, Southern Sotho, and Setswana, I think there should be a way of clustering these languages so that somebody knows one Nguni language, one Sotho language, English and Afrikaans. That I think can be very helpful in terms of communication. But as I've said, the second thing that I wanted to say, I've said this before, that Africans are a cultural minority, which is reflective of issues of economics. So we as Africans in this new dispensation are a cultural minority. And because we are a cultural minority, what has actually happened post-1994 is for Africans or black people to assimilate into Western culture. There hasn't been a deliberate effort by, you know, the government of the day to decisively put the necessary amount of money with regards to black people. Because once you do that, automatically, even, you know, African languages will systematically get some kind of recognition. I also wanted to agree with the last speaker on your guest to say, for me, it's really not important. I mean, it's important that Kitsaba Sesotho, yes. Mm-hmm. However, I think we need to understand that the only way that Africans are going to develop is when their languages develop scientifically as well. Mm-hmm. Languages cannot just be languages of communication. They need to be scientific languages. And I don't think that we have invested enough in terms of making... Because if, for an example, if you take Sesotho, Southern Sesotho, it is much older than Afrikaans as a written language. In other words, Sesotho was written long time before Afrikaans was written. However, if you look at the extent to which Afrikaans has developed as a scientific language, and you look at how Sesotho has developed, you then ask yourself, is it a reflection of how Basotho have not developed culturally and in other spheres of life? It is, because, and I'm saying indigenous African languages, they have not developed them to become more than just languages of communication, but become scientific languages, languages of research, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I think part of the problem is that it would be useless to say to a black middle-class family or an African middle-class family to say, you're not teaching your children an African language, and they'll tell you. I think if you look at issues of commerce and so on, it's understandable because these languages are not engaged in economics, in development, in science. So there wouldn't be a point. And until our languages develop to a point where they go into science, they go into, and by science I mean social sciences, I mean medicine, I mean, there wouldn't be a point in just, holding on to, because ultimately language, for instance, Sesotho, if there's no word in Sesotho that speaks about industrialism or the industrial economy, when we're living in an industrial economy, it's pretty useless to continue speaking about a language that does not reflect your current reality, that does not speak to where you are in your current situation. It would be useless, and that's why these languages we're losing them in terms of speaking them more often. It's because we have not developed them in the way that Afrikaans, for an example, was developed.
Thank you very much, Katleho. Good points there. We will react to them. I'm just going to request, guys, that you take some few notes, because I'm going to go to Donald as well in Gampahlele in Limpopo, and then you can pick and choose whatever points that you want to react to. Let me go to Donald. Hi, Donald. Let me check there. Peter, I don't know why it's giving me... let me see you. Let me try once again. Donald,
yay.
Finally. Rona Legai.
Rowan, you know what? I think with the guy who just spoke now, he's right. Because I always had this question, and I wish maybe we can get the answer to it.
Mm.
If you can check, Japanese, Koreans, they have their way of writing. Russians have their way of writing.
Mm.
Arabics have their way of writing. But I've never seen a written African alphabet or anything. I don't know if we ever had our way of writing, because it starts there.
That's a good one, Donald, and I'm going to hit it straight to Professor Msila, because he mentioned the issues of manuscripts of Timbuktu. And if you recall, Donald, that President Thabo Mbeki in his African Renaissance Crusade, you know, how he, using our taxpayers' money, using our money as taxpayers, how he invested so much in preserving those manuscripts in Timbuktu. And I still have to find out exactly what were those manuscripts about. But I think you're asking a pertinent question. Professor Msila, in terms of our own written language, what were those manuscripts containing? Or as Africans, did we have our own written language, like the Egyptians and so on? Yep.
Yes, there was. There you came with an answer, the Egyptians. The Egyptians did have their own alphabet. But after colonization, we tended to use the Western alphabet, and then we adapted to our own languages and ended up having the Western style of alphabet. For instance, you take one of the indigenous languages and use the Western style of writing to adapt it to own languages. And then earlier somebody talked about the development of Afrikaans.
Okay, before we go there, Prof. Donald, are you satisfied, or you want to make a follow-up question on that?
Okay. I'm not yet satisfied.
Yeah.
Actually, I would love to see the raw stuff.
Mm.
Because, you know what, one thing that the colonizer do is take away your identity.
Yes.
And if you can check, our identity is taken. Hence, we use English as a measure of success in our own culture. That is why we even talk English with our children at home, which is useless. It doesn't make sense at all.
Mm.
And they don't bother to learn our language.
yeah,
to an extent. Exactly. Those who learn them, they want to benefit from it. For that matter.
All right. No, thanks, Donald. Yeah. I think I'm going to push Prof slightly, and I'll get also Sindiswa and Zanele to comment on that. Prof, Donald is not that satisfied. He say, but where is our language? You know, where have we written it? I don't know if you want to stretch it a bit. Yeah,
it's not an easy question because what happens, especially if we totally compare the languages with the Western language, I mean the way that the alphabet is communicated. The indigenous people, it was different. Look at the Khoisan that we spoke about.
Mm.
If you look at the caves, you'll find their own alphabet, their own writing,
yes,
you know, written in the animal form and so on and so on. Mm. That is their own, you know, coming from their own culture, their own ways of doing, own identity, and it's reflected in their writing. Mm. But then, even them, they ended up changing when the colonizer came to use the colonizer's alphabet to suit them to when they are speaking their or writing their own language, which they are complaining that it's also becoming very much extinct now because few people are using it.
Okay, let me, as we wrap up the conversation, let me check with you, Zanele. From what Katleho from the Vaal mentioned, that one of the biggest challenges about lack of language development is that it does not incentivize particularly young people or even the kids, because if our languages are not linked to commercial imperatives or to industrialization, somehow, you know, young people and kids can become despondent to learn them because they're not going to benefit commercially. So he's bringing a different dimension, saying that it shouldn't just be language for the sake of language. Well, I hold a different view to say it must not be, for me, it must not be incentivized by commercial imperatives. It's about being an African and understanding my mother tongue. Many other things which are commercially, so I will deal with them commercially. But Katla is pushing back, is saying, you know, incentivize people by developing a language so that it can communicate to the knowledge economy that we live in. What is your view on that?
Katla Hovenze, e point important kakulu ngivumelana naye ne, because ngiyakhumbula nami ngibhali exam eUNISA. And complain, good time, man. Why are my questions are only in Afrikaans and English, yabo? Why me nang accommodate when you see Zulu?
Yes.
Which is unfair, velo ngoba umuntu obhala ngeAfrikaans okhulu okuyimother tongue yakhe yena uyizwa kahle question, yabo? Nobhala ngesilungu uyizwa kahle question. Mina kusamele ngizinwayanwaye, yabo, ngizibuza ukuthi eish le gama leli lisho ukuthini, kwenzakalani, yabo? So le point uKatleho ayenzayo important vele, ukuthi vele abantwana bazothi hayi ngizosenzani isiZulu vele if ever accounting esikolweni bangifundisa nge-English, yabo? Or whichever subject lanka bawayenzayo bawayenza ngesilungu. So nami challenge kumele siyinikeze ama-university leyo ukuthi i-mathematics, i-maths, i-science, ukwaba all those subjects. Mabayenze sure ukuthi because sinabo abantu, akhona lawo magama, i-triangle, unxantathu, yabo, akhona amagama esintu, yabo, for zonke lezi zinto lezo ekusuke kukhulunywa ngazo. And bakhona abantu ama-translators, ama-professional translators, and abangakhona ukuthi ba translate i-language. So yi challenge leyo ekumele ukuthi sinikeze ama university ukuthi masibuyelene lapho ekutheni nami ngesiZulu ngiyakwazi ukuthika ukuthi ngicela ukubhala ngesiZulu and then ibe in English and isiZulu as much as ikwazi ukuthi ibe in English and in Afrikaans, yabo. So u-raise i point important kakhulu Katleho. So kumele ukuthi si-check kakhulu leyo nto leyo.
Yeah. Because I do know that in the development of languages, so for instance, in Setswana, when we were doing languages, I know there were things called ma'adiwa, meaning that if there is no specific name in Setswana, then we will improvise, you know, and say we are borrowing this name and we create it. So that's part of language development. But Sisindiswa, in conclusion, you know, the issue of protecting languages by ensuring that if you don't pass your mother tongue, you don't progress to the next class. I mean, even at tertiary level, I remember in my journalism class, I did nothing Sotho. Actually, it was the only African language, you know, that was offered. And if you fail nothing Sotho, you are not going to progress to the next class, you know? And for me, it just signifies that even at tertiary level, there was some level of appreciation that people must understand and they must know and they must take African languages seriously. Because if you don't pass it, you are not going to graduate or you are not going to move to the next class. So, as the question, is there any way that we can influence people who are in charge of policy making, that is our legislatures, be it at national or provincial level, especially considering that we are going to vote on the 8th of May?
You know, I actually don't understand where exactly the problem is. Because Ishema languages, I'm sure you know, we talk about it every year, every month, almost all the time. It is spoken about. We talk about it with my platforms, with literature, on the academic sector. Iyakhulunywa all the time. And we have people, our specializer, you know, language practitioners, our developer in language. I'm sure in all universities, even in UNISA, we have people who are there just to department, which focuses on that. But now, what is confusing is that then it doesn't eventually get out there and get tested and implemented and corrected and reviewed into ezinjengalezo. So if we say yini engayenzwa, are we going to get to a point where actually we feel like we give up? Because so much is being done, but the outcome is very small. You actually don't see it.
Yeah.
I mean, any into ifana nalento, like, first, let me say all the people who contributed today, they were spot on. The contributions were so brilliant. I think there's a guy, sorry, I just forgot the name, I wasn't writing down. Magakhuluma ngendaba yokuthi ama language wethu, if I was setshenziswa scientifically, commercially, and
Katleho, that was Katleho.
All right, because then we already assume that the language le it's inferior. It can't conduct business. It can't be medical space. It can't be a parliament. So until these languages are used, Usis Danelo spoke about our languages. Not, you don't even find them in billboards or guma directions and what. Then how does it stay in your mind? Because once you don't use it, obviously, it's not going to, you know, be embedded in you. So if we can start there, Uguti, everything is translated in all languages so that all the languages spoken can be consumed. That's where we should start. And then when we go to AMA language practitioner, in terms of language development as well, I think the other thing that is happening now, the developers are also getting a bit tired of thinking whereby siyaboleka kakhulu, you know, whereby you will translate bureaucracy to bureaucracy. I mean, I feel like we can do better than that.
Yes.
We actually sit down and say, if bureaucracy imina ini, therefore, how can we build our own weight in isiZulu or in isiXhosa instead of
changing that Afrikaans or English word to one to make sense on our side. There is nothing wrong with borrowing, but we should not overdo it.
Exactly.
You know, we should try to create our own. That is why English and Afrikaans, babona beba kulugiti, because they are actually even bayasiboleka amagama kuba masebenzise yabantu ezinjengalezo. But while I'm saying this, I also want to go back to that one as well, your butchering languages. I think there as well we need to not to be too strict in ngendlela yokuthi we end up discouraging people trying. I understand the issue, my presenters. You are in a platform where we assume everything it should be perfect. By the way, my presenters say by bushara na English le ya fan. But
ouch. Okay. Continue.
But I also agree with people abakala yuguti. It's so painful. I feel the same way now. If a presenter alimaza language yesintu, I could my or pronounce it wrong, especially if you won't pronounce an English speaking person ngendlela wrong. It hurts, I know, and it makes the station look very bad. So maybe the station's managers need to be careful with maba employee umuntu bamthatha akwe yipi level ye language.
Yeah.
And then what annoys the listeners more, it's when the presenters butcher that language and then they laugh. That one kills me.
Yeah.
You know? So I think, but at the same time, I'm saying, can we allow that space for learning? Make that mistake, especially if it's not deliberate. You are trying to grow because we can't just come ready and perfect. We need to learn.
Okay. All right, I'm going to close up with the professor.
Didn't talk about this session that is coming in Miriam Clady reading. And
okay, we'll do that. We'll do that towards the end. Actually, we are closing. I just want to give Professor Msila the opportunity here. Actually, it's a question from Thabo Makauta. He's our regular Twitter writer, if I can say that. The question is, the Chapter 9 institution, the Commission for the Promotion and Protection of the Rights of Cultural, Religious and Linguistic Communities, has failed to promote indigenous languages into the mainstream in a country that is 60% plus indigenous. It's shambolic. Yeah. I've criticized CRL Commission to Kingdom Come in terms of these charlatans who are masquerading as pastors who are messing up our people in this country. So Tawis asking a question, this Chapter 9 institution, have they played a role in terms of promoting the African languages in line with their constitutional mandate? What is your view on that, Prof?
We are not where we should be. And everybody, and even all the callers we have called today, they are attesting to that. We are not where we should be. And the African indigenous languages continue to suffer. It's understandable, though, that the debate is taking so many, and there are so many stakeholders who are saying this is what should be done, this is not to be done, that and so on and so on. But we don't want the paradox of killing these African indigenous languages. For example, we talked a lot about making sure that they are pure. But I'm happy that many people are aware that we need to develop them so as to ensure that they get to the mainstream. In decolonization debates, we talk about knowledges, that there are various knowledges, and we also need to include the African knowledges. And we can only enter the debate when we have developed our own African indigenous languages. Earlier, I also wanted to talk about Afrikaans, which managed to organize itself and make sure that it's a written language. You know, they wrote their Bible around 1930, and just before the Malan government, you know, Afrikaans was already standing on its two feet, you know, in the language of science. They could use science, you know, they interpreted psychology and so on and so on, and other areas. So that is exactly what we should be moving toward as African indigenous languages, making sure that they join the mainstream and use the scientific languages that is used by Africans, which is very young. It's younger than all the African indigenous languages. Mm. So that is why we really need to concentrate on that. And Vanelle, I'm sure you would like this, that UNISA, in our endeavors to decolonize, the education faculty is translating all its question papers. That's from November last year. So we are continuing to try and make sure that we include the African indigenous languages into the mainstream.
Well, fantastic. In conclusion, Sindiswa, I know there's something happening on the 16th of March. Tell us more about it at the Miriam Tladi Book Club.
Yeah, we are hosting Prof. Msila with a young librarian from Zambia, Umubanga Lumba. Mm-hmm. The discussion will be facilitated to Ulebu Sipodi. She's an author. The discussion is on this very matter we are discussing. The theme is literacy in indigenous languages as the foundation of community, economic, social, and political advancement. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's happening on the 16th March 2019. It starts at 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. The venue is Wright Associates, 74 Mimosa Road, Rand Park Ridge. This information is also on our website, www.rightassociates.co.za.
Okay, and I think our producers, Netemba, can tweet those details as well. So that people should know. So are people paying? Is there a fee or just...
No, it's actually free. And the space is so limited.
All right.
But we'll appreciate if people could attend. We are still pushing the UNESCO Declaration of 2019 as the International Year of Languages. Languages.
Fantastic stuff. It's a pity I'm out of town. I was going to, I travel a lot these days. good luck with the event. Hopefully I will attend the next one. And Sis Zanele, what is happening at Freedom Park? Is there any event that you're going to be involved in?
Yeah, gune storytelling festival from 11 kumanje nje izolo bengise Philadelphia School of the Deaf. So from the 11th until the 15th, the festival on storytelling. So sizobe siqoqa ngezilimi zethu zase Africa. Abantu ba welcome.
All right. I got to thank you all for this fascinating discussion. I think it's just the first of many to come, because we have to put these things on a national agenda and get people engaged. And as Cindy says, that it shouldn't end up in talk shows. And, you know, finally, we got to influence policy. So, Prof. Vuyisile Msila, we thank you very much for joining us. Cindy,
thank you so much.
Siyakwa, we thank you so much, as well as Zanele Ndlovu. We appreciate your contribution and your insights on Power Zone.
Cool.
Okay.
And thank you, you guys, for discussing.
Thank you.
I love this. This is good radio.
Yeah. All right. Okay, ma.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.